Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Welcome along to the show. My gosh, he is not lying about the weather. -2 to 2. I'm thinking we're heading more into the -2 category right outside the door here at the moment. It's freezing, but it's not only freezing. It's, you know, when you just can't get the heat into your own body anymore. You've lost the ability biologically to keep to store heat, and it just feels like you're cold all the time. And not only that, I don't know about anybody else. I know there was a thing in the paper tonight about the flu, right, going around. I don't think I have the flu. I just think I have a bad cold. But I have it 2 weeks. I've been on antibiotics. It still doesn't want to go. And the amount of people that I'm talking to who are in exactly the same boat, it's just one of those colds going around. You know, runny nose, blocked nose, cough. It's just going around and nobody can get rid of it. Hopefully, when the temperature heats up, we can all get rid of it. Anyway, happy Christmas, everybody. Yeah, there's only a couple of weeks to go. Kids, Santa Claus is coming soon. And no matter what he brings you, he'll bring, put a smile on your face. Even if he brings you the one thing that you're really looking for. And remember, every child in this world really only wants one thing. That's your attention and your love. And I know that sounds real tearful and real smushy and all that kind of stuff, but it's true, isn't it, really? It doesn't matter how much money you spend or, you know, how much money you give Santa Claus for the presents. I mean, realistically, all Santa Claus wants to do is make a child smile and make a child happy. Anyway, I have a lot to talk about tonight, including how do you know it's Christmas in Ireland? Yeah, we get a bit of a Christmas spirit going. Also, a guy sent in an email. He's not too pleased, by the way. He bought a new house, but he's not too pleased that the social housing next door to him. And he's saying, why am I paying so much money for a house and somebody next door gets it for nothing? And he's not too pleased about it. There was an article in the paper about that very thing today as well, so I'm going to talk about that. And I am going to be talking to Belinda Nugent a little bit later on from Icon about child trafficking in Dublin, in the inner city. Child trafficking. You didn't. When we define or think about child trafficking, the first thing that comes into our heads is, you know, that movie about the kids that were being trafficked from Mexico into America. And then I suppose you think of, you know, kids, young children who are being trafficked from all over the world, passports taken off them, you know, and literally, well, I'm not saying suggesting sold, but used and exploited. But maybe it doesn't have to be that complicated. It happens right here in Ireland in very different ways where children are exploited. We'll get around to talking about that later on because it's a very interesting, should I say, a play. And it was screened on November the 26th at the Sean O'Casey Theatre, or should I say film. And the film tells a poignant story of the young lives caught in child criminal exploitation and the urgent need for state action from the Minister for Children. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is the retirement age. And a lot of you listening to this show will be close to retirement age because of the very demographic of the radio station. We're over 30s. So even if you're not close to retirement age, well, you don't have too long to go, do you? Realistically, retirement age is technically 65 years of age. It always has been. And the central bank governor thinks people should be pushed to work after 65. Is he right? I mean, there was an article the other day in the paper. I can't remember the exact, I vaguely remember it, but it basically said something along the lines of, don't quote me if I'm 100% correct on this, right? But it said that for every pensioner in the country to get their pension, five people had to be paying tax. So five people pay tax to, you know, to keep one pensioner going. Fair enough. But they reckon in 20 years' time, because of the population decline across Europe, generally speaking, and the amount of people that are actually working and paying tax, we're going to be down to two people paying for each pensioner. There's only one way out of that, and that is that we don't pay a pension at 65 and we wait till later in life or work till later in life, or you pay more tax. Or the third way out of that is we change the whole system. And if I was in charge of this world, we would change the whole system. If I was in charge of this world, you wouldn't be paying tax. And it's a very complicated discussion that I'm not going to get into right now. And you're all going, well, how can you not pay tax now? How can countries make money? Look, Ireland is a very self-sustainable country. Just like Dubai, where they don't pay tax. Ireland has all the resources. We are a wonderful country if we were allowed to be a wonderful country. And if we were managed and run properly. But we're not. And apart from that, remember, money is only zeros and ones written on a piece of paper. When the central bank talk about, for example, or we talk about Ireland last year took in 95 billion in taxes last year. There's nobody sitting in a room somewhere with 95 billion pounds or euros in cash going, okay, that's one, two. Nobody's, like, it's not there. It's all on paper. We don't physically ever see that cash. It's rare that we see cash nowadays, just, you know, The odd citizen has a few quid in their pockets, all right, but we don't see cash. So it's a very different world that we live in now compared to the world we lived in 60, 70 years ago during the Industrial Revolution. There's a different way and a different way to set up society, to be fair, but not to have us burdened with paying income tax. And Donald Trump actually was only talking about this recently, about abolishing income tax. And he was going to do it by introducing tariffs for larger companies. Now, that's kind of a bit anti-capitalist, but you could talk about doing something similar to that without penalising successful companies either. There has to be a balance there. But certainly there are people in this world, and although I'm not a socialist or I'm not anti-capitalist, there are people in this world that have more money than most of us in the whole country. The likes of Jeff Bezos, the likes of Elon Musk. Most of those people earn more money than all of us earn together. And they don't know what to do with it. And that's kind of wrong too. But that's very complicated. As I said, in slightly more than 20 years, it's predicted there will be only 2 workers for every pensioner compared to the 5 now. And Gabriel Maklov, who is the governor of the central bank, recently gave a speech at an economics event in London where he warned that demographics of many developed countries are going to dramatically change in the coming years. Well, we can see that happening already. Basically, there will be a much bigger retired and elderly population. Ireland is second in Europe as far as age is concerned. I remember that coming up during COVID, of course, because obviously the concern amongst countries who had an older population was more people would die because, of course, COVID-19 or any virus, any respiratory virus, would affect older people more so. The way Ireland's state pension system works is that the current workforce funds payments to those who were retired. Right now, as I said, there are about 5 workers for every retiree. In slightly more than 20 years, it's predicted that the balance will shift and there'll only be 2 workers for every pensioner, meaning far less people working. So without dramatically raising taxes on the workforce, how will the pensions actually get paid? Agloff's suggestion was that we should also look beyond current thinking on dependency ratios that generally assume retirement is at 65. In other words, we should stretch retirement past 65. But what do you think about this? Is it inevitable? Now, there is no doubt that when the retirement age was set at 65 many years ago, that, you know, at 65 years of age, people were done. You know, they just weren't able to work really anymore but we live in a much healthier society. But there is an argument that why would you want to work past 65 if you didn't have to? Because surely you want to enjoy the last 15 years of your life based on averages. You want to enjoy that based on the fact that we all die somewhere between 80 and 90 years of age. But what do you think about it? I mean, there are a lot of people who want to keep working, by the way, who are quite happy to work in this kind of industry. In media, for example, I could quite happily work till I'm 70 or 80 years of age, as long as my brain is still working and my mouth keeps moving. I could probably keep working. But in some industries, you can't, because you just wouldn't be able to. If your industry involves, for example, I don't know, accountancy, maybe. I'm only just saying accountancy, which uses a lot of brain power. And as we get older, we slow down a little, we make a few mistakes. Maybe you might not be able to do that. You might not be comfortable doing it and getting it accurate anymore. Construction. Working, you know, in any job that would be physical. So people want to retire. But how do we do this? Would it be reasonable to suggest that we should work till 68? I mean, what do you think it is? Is it inevitable that we are pretty much going to have to work for the rest of our lives? Or do you think we need to rethink the whole system and ensure that there's a reasonable cutoff point for our working lives? So the central bank wants us to work later in life and believes that we want to do that and we're happy enough to do that. But are you happy enough to work later in life, past 65 years of age, before the state will actually pay you a pension? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Mike, hi, how are you?
Nice, how's it going?
How are you doing, Mike? Mike, I don't know what age you are, and I suppose it's probably one of the only topics where I can legitimately ask people their age and not feel too, you know, embarrassed about it, particularly women, because you're not supposed to ask a woman her age. But what age are you, Mike?
Same vintage as yourself, 63 years old.
Okay. So do you think, Mike, you'll be working past 65?
I'll put it very simply to you, Niall. You go down the country there, you see every farmer, every self-employed man, so they're still working. Like, so what's the age of the farmer now? The fella that's putting the food on the table for us, and they're rearing the lambs and rearing the calves and milking the cows.
I'm going to Google that now. The average age of a farmer. What's the average age of an Irish farmer? Now, before Molly Googles it, my producer tonight, I'm going to have a guess, and I'm going to say the average age of an Irish farmer is 56. That's the average age. Now, that means there's going to be some of them will be 70 and some will be 30. But I would imagine about 56 is probably the average age.
It'll be a bit more, I'd say, Niall.
Do you think? Okay. What do you reckon? What do you reckon it is?
Jeez, you go to any mart, you go to any market there. Now, I was at the mart now today, and there wasn't any farmer there under 45 years of age, like.
Okay. Now, Molly has just told me the average age of an Irish farmer in this country is 58 years of age. I wasn't too far off.
Well, so like 60, like that's the average age. But you know, it is, you know. But anyway, like
I know. I get the point you're making. That a lot of them are working till they're 60, 70 or 80 years of age, and you know, a lot of the reason for that, Mike, is because their kids don't want the farm.
Exactly. But you see, as I said, Niall, I was self-employed there for a long time, like, and the job I had wasn't a very pretty job, but I loved it. And as I put it down, it wasn't a job, it wasn't a profession, it was a drug.
Yeah.
And I worked in an abattoir, Niall.
Wow. Wouldn't fancy that.
And it was hard work.
I'm sure it was. Yeah. Didn't smell too good either. Yeah.
And I would love animals, like.
I tell you what, if you love animals, that's probably the worst job you could have been in, isn't it?
No, it was just, and how did I get into it? I suppose, you see, my father before me was a farmer, was a butcher. And you see, I think he should have been a psychologist, because when we were young, the job you hated most was the job he gave you most. And he'd come home from the pub and maybe there had to be a couple of sheep to be slaughtered, like. Who would he get about a bit to go out to sheep? Only me. And I spent 12 years after, full time at it, 7 days a week. And I loved it. I adored it.
Do you think, Mike, there's any problem with stretching the retirement age past 65? Because realistically, in 20 years, we're not going to be able to afford 65. The state,
well,
based on the current system.
In the body, you have to listen to your body, Niall. If your body can do it, happy days. Because what you can't do, Niall, is make a person that loves his job and likes walking and doing physical work, is stopping them. That's going to have a worse knock-on effect.
But here's the problem. If, say, in the public sector, you know, Department of Social Protection, HSE, everywhere else, they decide to increase it to 67, so an extra 3 or 4 years, or they've no retirement age, well, then that's a problem for young people coming into the sector, because then we're not freeing up places for them. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. But like the song goes, don't bring your kids up to be doctors and lawyers. Like, they can now be doctors and lawyers or working in the civil service. Like, you know, as they're saying there, no, they want to get young people back doing apprenticeships there and all that. Like,
yeah, they're struggling. They're struggling to do that. To get young people to get their hands dirty is tough. You know what I mean? Young people just want to sit behind keyboards. You know what I mean?
Yes, and you know, that I have an opinion on that too. Like that, you know, when you were a young fella, Niall, and when I was a young fella, we'd do anything to get a job.
I worked in a shoe shop. I worked in a bike shop. I fixed bikes.
I tended a bricklayer at 14 years of age, and he wanted to give me an apprenticeship at it. But
I was a window cleaner for a summer, by the way. I went around with a ladder cleaning windows.
Cleaning windows, the best
change I've gone. Mike, do me a favour, stay there for a second, because I've got a bit over time tonight for some reason, and I have to go to a break. Brian, Marion and Owen, I'm going to be with you momentarily, all right? So please bear with me, all right? I'm going to have to speak to you. All right, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number, if you want to contact us on WhatsApp at any stage, by the way, if you want to come on the air, is 087-188-0008. Let me go to Marion. Marion, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. And Brian and Owen will be with you momentarily. Marion, should we extend the retirement age, because we're not going to be able to afford pensions in about 20 years' time?
No, definitely not. I think it should be down to a person's own wishes and their personal health. And I think that Mick is right when it comes to the self-employed sector, the likes of farmers, plumbers, you know, there's a lot of self-employed in the construction industry. Mm-hmm. Some of those feel that they have to keep working, because I don't know, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think the benefits have, yes, been brought up standard with those who are in the private sector, you know, but I think the physicality of the work.
Well, the difference, I suppose, the difference is they won't, probably most of them won't have a private pension. Now, if you're in the public sector, you get a contributory pension. If you're in the private sector and you haven't been paying into a pension, of course, you only get a non-contributory pension, depending on how many stamps you've paid.
Yeah, but in the private sector, I do believe that since at least 2000s, the early 2000s, late 1990s, that it was compulsory to have a pension where you put into it.
Mm. In the public sector,
In the private sector.
Oh, no, there's no compulsion in the private sector. Not yet. I think they're bringing that in as we currently speak. But there is no compulsion to have a pension. The law is your employer must offer you the opportunity, but you don't have to take it.
Yeah, but, like, they have to put one in place for you. Like, they have to put into one. Majority of all the private sector companies.
I can tell you now. I get Molly to check it. Molly, if you just do me a favour and Google what percentage of the private sector in Ireland have a pension. And I'm going to guess, I'm good at this guessing game tonight, I'm going to guess it's about 20%. I reckon only about 20% of the private sector have a pension.
I reckon it's higher.
Do you think so? Okay, well, we'll find out. We'll find out in a second. Molly will check it out there. She'll get it from CSO. But I imagine, what percentage of the private sector have a pension? Okay, Molly has I think she has the answer here. Yeah, what do you reckon, Molly? So what's the figure? Here we go. Oh, thank you. I was well wrong. You were very right. 68%, according to Molly.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's a lot higher than I thought. So I'm a little bit taken back by that, a little bit surprised by that.
Which is where, and that brings in this fellow from the bank, right? Brings him into a quandary. Because, like, if people draw down their pension earlier, they're paying a lot of tax on that.
Mm-hmm.
And people decide that they're taking early retirement. They have an option of taking a lump sum. Right, but they can get so much tax free. Everything else is actually taxed at the higher rate, regardless of whether or not you were paying the high rate.
But here's the thing: when you say there shouldn't be a compulsion, in other words, i.e., if you feel like you can continue to work far away, right? But could we really do that in the public sector? Because we rely on those people who leave at 65 to make openings for young people who want to go into the sector then. So if they don't leave, and here's the thing, I remember speaking to a woman years ago. She told me she was working in the public sector and she was devastated she had to leave at 65. And I said, why? She said, because I'd be lonely. And so in other words, she didn't want to leave the job. Now, the fact that she wasn't able for it anymore by her own admission, she said she still wanted to go in every day because she'd be lonely. Her husband had died a few years previous. So a lot of people are in the public sector or would stay in the public sector if they got the opportunity just to have a social life. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, but if you look at it, a lot of doctors, they're not retiring at 65.
No, but they're self-employed.
My GP was about 70.
Yeah, but they're self-employed. They're private sector workers, yeah.
Like, even in the hospitals, they're older. You know, if you go to CUH, a lot of the
consultants, yeah.
Yeah, they're a lot older, and they work for the HSE.
Well, no, they don't work for the HSE. They work under contract. So they're not employed by the HSE. They're private. Yeah. So the private individuals who work under contract.
But a lot of factories would say in the private sector, right, you're given your pension papers, blah, blah, blah. But written down in it is your age of retirement, right? In my case now it was 65. But I do remember that there was people who started paying into a pension a couple of years after that, and their retirement age was 66.
Mm.
I remember that.
I mean, according to the central bank, we're going to have to stretch it out a good bit because we're not going to have the money to pay pensions in 20 years' time. Does that worry you?
Oh, yeah. Listen, if everybody stopped all this wasting money, which is a different topic, we'd be sorted.
Yeah, if we stopped spending it on bike sheds, we'd be well. So, well, do me a favour, Marion, stay there because I want to go to Brian and Owen because I'm waiting ages. Sorry, Owen. Brian, hi, how are you?
How you doing?
Brian, do you think we should extend the retirement age to save the country some money?
Well, look, to be honest, I'm with you. We need a whole revamp of the system. And it's very interesting that central bankers, after coming out with this, their money do figures, they don't care about people. As they start with abolishing the central bank and work from there. I mean, this country pays so much income tax in interest to these bankers.
Yep.
That really don't give a damn about any of the good people that have been on that show tonight.
Mm.
Me or you or anybody else.
No.
I'm 100% with you. We need to revamp the whole system. Start with the central bank, abolish it.
Well, they've talked about that in America for years, which would be theirs would be the Federal Reserve.
Yeah. And hardships. You know, I've worked hard all my life. It was labor, really hard labor. And, you know, I took it upon myself with my bad back and everything else to start my own enterprise, my own little business. And it's not as hard. And I have no problem working till the day I die because I enjoy it. It's not hard to me. You know?
What do you do? Can I ask you what you do, Brian? What's your business? You don't have to tell me if you don't want to. It's okay.
No, but look, I'd rather not be truly identified.
Oh, that's okay. But I mean, do you believe in the public sector, for example? Private sector, you can work to whatever age you want to, right? But in the public sector, which is about 600,000 people in this country, do you believe that they should extend the retirement age or get rid of it altogether and let people work to whatever age they want to work?
The world works in contracts. If you make a contract, say you're working for the public sector, and your contract is, well, you signed up for this, you have to leave at 65. I think it's wrong, but I mean, the contract is a contract. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
I think that should
that's
be
the same way in the private sector.
Sorry, Marion?
That's the same way it is in the private sector. Factories, when you say, I'm speaking now on behalf of factories, right?
Mm.
It's a mandatory cutoff age of 65.
Not for every job.
In factories, it is.
No, but it's not. But there isn't a cutoff point or a pension age is not in every single job. I can tell you now. There's no.
No, not every single.
Yeah, in my contract for work, there's no cutoff age.
But in the private, we say the private manufacturing facilities, companies mm-hmm. like that, it is. There's a cutoff. Now, a lot. Some of them, they do have the option to maybe extend you an extra year. But I think that's all based down on your absenteeism days regarding, you know, how many days have you missed due to ill health, which is fair enough, whether or not they feel that you're still up for the job or not, or, you know.
But it might be very hard. Like, if you extended it, say, to 70 or just took it away altogether because of ageism and said, let's get rid of the 65 altogether, people can work to whatever age they want, it'd be very difficult to get rid. It'd be very difficult to get rid of anybody. You wouldn't be able to.
I personally speaking now, like, I would rather be out of there and be able to, what is it? The average lifespan of a person is
82.
Ireland, 82. Was 83.
Yeah.
And actually, over the last 4 years, the lifespan expectancy in Ireland has risen by less than 0.2% year on year. It's actually going up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I, like anybody who's worked their ass off for years, right? I think they should be entitled to some time while they're still mobile. Get around.
I don't disagree with you. I think it would be great if we could all afford that. Yeah, I mean, Brian, if you could afford to retire at 65, Brian, you know, financially, would you?
I don't think so. Now, work keeps me sane. It keeps me going, you know.
Mm, yeah.
If I took up another hobby...
like if I said to you, I'm going to give you exactly the same amount of money as you're making right now at the moment on a good week, and I give that to you every week, but you could retire if you want, would you?
I wouldn't take it off you. Do you know what I mean? I'd rather work for it. That's just me. I don't know. I'll get to the age surely where I'm going to think the back's given. I'm going to have to stop here.
Yeah.
Or think of something else. Maybe work in the computer itself. But I'm a 9-to-5er. I've been all my life. It's a structure. And, you know, I just wouldn't feel right unless if I laze off and I start getting up at stupid hours of the day or whatever. I know I wouldn't be right. I just like the structure of it.
But I think I think you're right in your opening sentence when you come on. Yeah. And I know you agreed to what I said earlier on. The structure of the way we do things. What's happening here is the government and the central bank are just regurgitating the same sort of storyline constantly all the time. Instead of rethinking the whole thing.
Yeah. I'd rather all the old people just die tomorrow.
Of course. Care. Yeah, well, that's what...
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're going to bring in euthanasia next year. Hopefully they get rid of a few that way. That's probably what they're thinking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll feel a little bit worthless like Canada and, you know, 4% of the population will die because they want to. And which is horrible. You know? Because old people cost money for the state, which is terrible.
Yeah, they just... Numbers on the screen, they don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stay there for a second. Let me go to Owen. Owen, hi, how are you?
No, I'm not too bad, Niall, but I'm very disappointed with the standard of the things being raised there. First thing I'd like to mention, Neil, is the reason central bank are going on with this talk is because their buddies in the pension schemes who've been receiving huge payment and huge bonuses have made a balls of everyone's pension, right? That's the first point I'd like to make. And the second point I'd like to make is that pension deficits disproportionately affect women. If you could get your researcher there to check it, an awful a huge amount of women have no pension. It's them going to be caught with it, like, you know?
No, I'm aware of that. I'm well aware of that.
Yeah. And the second point I'd like to make is that what a bunch of pities. They're working all their life. And even if they got the same money for the opportunity of enjoying their life, they wouldn't take it.
Well, Brian said he wouldn't. I said to Brian, if I offered you the same money you're earning now.
Well, a pity. And the same with your one you mentioned there who'd be going in because she's lonely. Would you go in, join a club and take up a hobby or do
play golf or something.
Positive,
yeah.
Like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Niall, is 90% of fellas won't be able to work after 65. As you look at...
Hang on, just let Brian respond to what you just said there. Brian...
I'll get to an age where I won't be able, and I will gladly accept it.
No, he's giving out because you. When I said to you, if I offered you the same money now you're earning in a good week and you didn't have to work for it, would you take it? And you said, no, you'd rather work. And Owen thinks that's madness. What?
I just directly answered your question. But I know it's your...
Yeah, go play golf or something, Brian. You know, if somebody, you know, my boss said to me, Niall, listen, you don't have to come in anymore, but I just keep paying you. How's that sound? I'd say, when do I start?
I'll tell you now, a bit of work. Cut it down slowly until I'm okay, finally done. So I can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, grand. Just retire.
Owen, by the way, Owen, have you got a private pension?
I don't.
I'll tell you now, Niall, I'm tuned into this, right? My father was great in pensions. And I was self-employed for years, and I had the Construction Industry Federation pension, which is a disgrace. It isn't worth anywhere, look. So I changed careers years back, and I have a contributory pension through work.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
And at the age I'm at, I'm kicking into AVCs, right? Because it's tax efficient to do that. Instead of giving the tax man money, I save it into
a pension. Yeah, of course, yeah.
That's a no-brainer for me, like, you know what I mean?
Well, like I say, the way things are going at the moment with, you know, the money that's in the country, you know, in the next 20 years, I imagine they'll get rid of that little incentive because that incentive is costing the revenue too much.
Nibbling. They're always trying to steal off us. Every government is just basically thieves reaching into your pocket.
By the way, I heard the central bank talking all about this pension and blah, 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 blah. And on the same day, I read an article in the paper about the TDs who didn't get elected this time around in the election and how much the pension they're going to get, even for one term of office. It's like 48,000 or something mental. And not only do they get a pension, by the way, they get a little bit of good luck money. You know what I mean? Just for running again. They get it, like, it's like 30 grand, just bye-bye, handshake money. And one of them there who had done 6 or 7 terms or whatever, I don't know who he was, he gets like a couple of 100,000 bye-bye money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and these are the people who got thrown out for incompetency, the likes that useless fool Mick Barry and all of them. Like.
Well, you don't like Mick Barry, you didn't vote for him, fair enough. But I'm sure many people think he is useful at what he did. He may run again. But here's the thing. You know, it's all well and good for the government to tell us, you know, oh, maybe we might have to work later because we haven't got the money to give you for pensions. And they're rolling in it. They're getting the biggest pensions of all.
Sir Bertie Ahern's had more money than Trump. And he's going, yeah, no, they're going to get it. Is he after opening the bank account or what? Like, you know what I mean?
I know. By the way, they all still, like Leo and Bertie and the rest of them, so they all still have like a government driver and security and...
All that.
And I mean, who's going to be after them? I don't think there's anyone who's a threat to them. Anyway, Brian and Owen, listen, thanks. I want to know what you think. The number, by the way, is 087-188-0008. The question is, we're talking about pensions. And do you believe that we should have to work later in life, because according to the central bank, we're not going to have the money. At this moment in time, five workers pay for one retiree, one pension. So five taxpaying workers are paying the cost of one pension. But in 20 years' time, at the current decline of birth rate and the way the population is getting older all across Europe, not just in Ireland, we will only have two workers to pay for a pension. And that means one of two things. You're not getting a pension at 65, or we're going to have to charge those workers more tax. Can't do that either, because you just don't earn enough. Well, they probably would try. Or we rethink how we do everything. We have to rethink everything. Let me know what you think. Do you think working later in life is an option? Is that not such a bad idea? After all, we are healthier now than we ever were before. So he says, I'll be factual. TDs don't get a pension until they reach the retirement age. Did I suggest they didn't have to reach retirement age? I just said they get a pension. They only have to do one term of office and they have a pension when they get to 65, obviously. I think people assumed that you knew that. Anyway, mind you, you can claim a pension early, but you end up having to pay a lot of tax and you get a lesser amount. Sometimes there are some pension funds that you can actually claim early. Anyway, speak for yourself, Boylan. I likely won't be working until I'm 70. Dubai has oil, Niall. We do not. Yeah, we don't have oil right now at this very moment. But we could if we tried. But we haven't tried. They do say that we have oil reserves off the coast of Ireland. That could supply the whole of Europe. Work that one out. Also, we have gas too. I'm not going to go on. You're talking about the Germans actually created pensions back in the 1800s, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to know the history of pensions. I understand, but we need to rethink the whole thing. Let me go to Billy. Billy, hi, how are you?
No, you're just after reading out every text message I've sent in to you tonight.
Is that yours? Oh, sorry,
that
Billy.
Yeah, I'm done. I made all my points for me. Thank you very much.
Good night, Billy. Sorry, Billy. I didn't realise that was your phone number. I do apologise. Okay. Sorry, Billy. Yeah, Billy, I assume people knew I was talking about when they retire at 65. They get a pension. Yeah. You work for 5 years in a job.
Why shouldn't you get a pension?
But you should get a pension. But the pensions seem to be quite large. But they're quite big pensions.
So the logic on this, Niall, is going back. So take for example, lads who maybe went into politics in the 50s or 60s who may not have got re-elected and may have found it difficult to find another job coming out. So pension, the rate of the pension was there because there was no guarantee that a politician was going to get into another field of employment at the time that they would be able to amass enough money to live in the later years. So that was the logic as to why the pension is as high as it is. Should it be? I don't know.
Well, the idea that you can't get another job, say, at 40, I know. You know what I mean? We all have to work on that one, because there's no such thing as, well, unless you're in the guards or a nurse or something, generally speaking, or a teacher, there's no such thing as a job for life. You know what I mean? So that's just the way it is. Most of us only stay 5 or 6 years in a job anyway.
So now I just want to make a point to you, because I think it puts a bit of context on this. So if we go back to 1950, what was the life expectancy in Ireland in 1950, do you know?
Probably 70 years of age, 75. I don't know.
It was 65.
Okay.
So the retirement age was 65, and the life expectancy at that time was 65.52.
Wow.
Which is average life expectancy. So you could retire at 65, you may make it another 6 months. Some people lived a lot longer.
Well, of course, but you have to remember, of course. Yeah, we were in the middle of Industrial Revolution. Most of the work was manual.
No, this is 1950.
Yeah, no, I'm just, 1950. Yeah, but I'm just saying most. Yeah, but I'm just saying most work was manual.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And as of 2024, the life expectancy has increased
82.
To 82.96.
Yeah.
So there's been nearly a 20 year increase in the life expectancy. Now, when pensions were originally brought in, and I did mention Germany in one of my texts, and it was Otto von Bismarck who brought in pensions in the 1880s in Germany. It originally was for people who were aged 70, and then he reduced it to people who were aged 65. So people were living between retirement at 65, they might live till 70. So the pension cost per person was about 5 years. That was it. Annual pension paid out for 5 years per person. And now we're expected to pay out a pension for people who are going to live nearly 20 years. So it's 14.
Yeah, but hold on. But here's the thing, Billy. We live in a very different world. For example, let me just give you another analogy. I think it was Henry Ford who originally brought in the 5-day working week, right? 8 hours a day, five days a week. We now know that maybe we should change that. We're talking more recently about 4-day working week and a balance of work-life balance and all that kind of stuff, because we live in a very different world where we want to enjoy life a little bit better and not just work constantly all the time. So that, I imagine in 20 years' time, I would say it'll be a 4-day working week. There'll be no such thing as a 5-day week, right? In 10 years' time, actually, there'll be no such thing. So just like that, maybe when it comes to pensions and it comes to the way people live after the age of 65 or whatever it is to enjoy those final 15, 20 years of their life, if that's how long they live, we need to rethink how we do things. You know, and I'm talking about financially rethink the whole thing.
Just before you start financially rethinking, let's get to the cold brass tacks here. The only financial rethink is if you want to keep the pension age at 67, which it is today, going into the future, the amount of money paid out to a pensioner will have to reduce.
But that's not possible.
It is, but that's the only way that it's going to work.
Well, no, I know. I read the figures the other day in relation to five workers paying for one pensioner, and 20 years' time, there'll be only two workers to pay for those pensions, which leaves two options. You pay more tax or you reduce the money you pay to the pensioner. So they're the only two options. Or you increase the pension age. But there has to be a third option. And a third option is we rethink how we do things. So you know, it's like saying there's only one way to fund a country. That's by charging the citizens' income tax. That's not the only way.
Give me your thesis. Allow me to challenge you on it and poke holes in it. Because you've got one.
I don't know. No, I obviously don't have one. I'm not an economics expert. I don't have a thesis. But there are people out there who are a lot more intelligent than me when it comes to these things. And surely they can figure out a way to do this. Because we are reliant.
But Niall, if it was that simple, they would have done it already.
But hey, okay, and I'm giving you another example, another analogy. Income tax, right? Currently we pay income tax. This is not a Barmy suggestion, and it has been made by many people in the past, that we should abolish income tax completely, right? And that we should come up with a different way of funding a country. Because we all know that money is just a figure on a piece of paper. Nobody actually ever sees the money, right? It's just a piece of paper with a figure written on it. So there should be a different way of doing things that's a fair system. You know, and abolish income tax. Of course, Donald Trump more recently was talking about abolishing income tax and increasing tariffs. But that, by the way, can penalise.
Donald Trump doesn't understand.
Absolutely. By the way, I'm not completely agreeing with that either, because you can't start penalising successful companies constantly all the time, because that will put them out of business.
The economic logic of introducing tariffs on goods that you are importing is that the goods that you are importing will get more expensive because the suppliers of those goods pay the tariffs.
I have no problem with introducing tariffs on goods that are imported that are already available in the country. I.e., if you're making cars in America and you're importing them from Mexico, I have no problem with introducing a tariff on that.
That's fine. Yeah. But, you know, what about the steel that goes into the manufacture of
from
those
Tata.
Cars?
Yeah, in India.
Importing from India or from elsewhere. He's talking about putting the tariffs onto the steel. And I don't want to go down a rabbit hole on Trump's...
Forget about all that. But all I'm saying is, Billy, you know, you're a clever guy too. You know, there has to be another way of doing it without penalising people and saying, well, you're going to have to work after 65.
The only way, and as you said, there must be another way, there must be another system. The system that we have at the moment is capitalism. The only way that we can get off the system is if the rest of the world also decides to get off this system.
Oh, I know.
Money, as you said, is paper. It's not backed by any tangible assets anymore. There's no gold reserve anymore. But, you know, in order for Ireland, a country of 5.2 million people, to get off this merry-go-round and to allow everyone to retire at whatever age they wanted, like the Greeks did, and look what happened in Greece when you had hairdressers driving around in Porsches after retiring at 57. The country collapsed. But that's what happened, Niall. This is the case. You give people loads of money, you reduce your retirement age whenever people want to retire, and you put an unsustainable burden on the public finances because the money has to come from somewhere. We just don't invent money and print it out.
Okay, well, hang on. I've got 5 minutes now and I have to get to Kathleen and Anto as well. Kathleen, hi, how are you?
Hello now.
How are you, Kathleen? What do you want to say?
Yeah, okay. What I want to say is I'm retired now. But I paid, when I left school at 16, over in England, right, I paid national insurance, okay?
Yep.
Now, when I came to live in Ireland, which was in 1998, when I moved over to Ireland, I had to get a PRSI number.
Yep.
And pay my PRSI and my tax.
Yep.
That was okay. I didn't mind that at all. But as I got older now, I had issues with arthritis, I got it. I used to be a chef, but I got trouble with my feet and different issues that come up that you wouldn't believe. You're flying around, you're well and fucking going around, and you don't realize now that there comes a day and you haven't got the energy, but you don't want to do it. I'd love to go back to work. I'd be crippled for that, but I can't do it. So I wouldn't be physically able to do it now.
And by the way, a lot of people, when they get to 65, slow down, or they're not able to do the job they were able to do before, unless it's an administration job. And I find it difficult to understand how we can, I mean, Billy thinks we can move it past 65. I find it difficult to understand, Billy, how. I mean, when you listen to Kathleen's story, and she's not the only one, by the way.
I'm not saying that we should move it past 65, Niall. I just don't see a way that we can keep it at 65.
Well, you should.
I don't see a way that it works in this country.
Well, we have to figure it out. We've 20 years to work this out. Well, we've less than 20 years because it's obviously index-linked, so it's going to keep it happening. It's slowly happening over 20 years. But we've got a bit of time to figure this out, Billy. We got to figure it out because we can't have a situation where we're underpaying pensions and people are literally, you know, on the breadline. As it is already, pensioners can't keep up with the cost of living, just like everybody else. We can't make that any worse.
Niall.
It's a Now, isn't it a two-tier system what they're paying the politicians now?
Yeah, well, to be fair, Kathleen, I understand politicians are well paid. I was talking about their pensions earlier on. But they are doing a job. It's a well-paid job and recognised as a well-paying job. If you want to earn that kind of money, well, then be a politician yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a fair point, isn't it?
Well, fair enough, but... Okay, fair enough, Niall. Yeah, I'm not.
Don't get me wrong. There's a few of them out there I just think don't deserve half of what they get or a quarter of what they get. But that, look, that's the job. That's what it pays. Hang on. Let me just go to Anto as well. Anto, Kathleen makes a fair point, you know, that a lot of people just can't work past 65, depending on the job, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that, Niall, I'm young enough now. I have a good job. I think we need to improve the workforce and get more people into the workforce. And to improve the ratio there of the workforce from the past 2 to 1 in 20 years, my proposal would be to kind of incentivize people to have big families again.
Yeah.
We've gone away from that in recent times. People can't afford to have a family. So I suppose to incentivize that, I suppose, to bring something towards the pension aspect of it. Like rear your kids. I know it's expensive there to bring your kids up nowadays with childcare, etc. But incentivize the big family again. People, like I said, the birth rate's down. People aren't joining the workforce now because the birth rate has gone down.
Yeah.
So you can raise your family, plenty of kids, educate them, incentivize people to raise kids, and get them into the workforce. Good education, bring them up right. And obviously, get people back into paying taxes.
I don't know how you do that. I know they have tried to do it. I'm trying to remember who brought it in. Billy will remember in a second. Somebody brought in the incentive that if you had more than 2 children, you could work tax free. Billy, who was brought that in again?
Seven years ago,
people gave out about it at the time, and it didn't really work. Anto, it was a good incentive for women to have more than 2 children, and they could work tax free if they had more than 2 children, and it just didn't work. I don't know why, but it didn't. And so I would agree with you, but I think there's a societal shift, Anto, between, you know, around women working now, which is great if that's what they want to do, away from the stay at home mum. So I think that's the problem with the birth rate. That's why the birth rate has dropped, and the cost of living. Of course, you pointed out as well, it's expensive to buy a house to raise children in.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting to go tax free with the 2 kids. No, that's not what I'm saying. It's just incentivize people to have families again. Like, kind of like when I was brought up, most families have 4 or 5 kids, and now it's down to some people are living like partners together without kids. Like, and
yeah, I know.
There's no aspirations to have kids because of the cost of living.
But Anto, when childcare is going to cost you the equivalent of a second mortgage per child, it's not affordable to have kids.
And it
compounds the issue because you're paying for your childcare for your kids, but you're also trying to pay into the pension that you're supposed to be saving for when you get to 67, so you don't have to subsist on the state.
Yeah, I understand that, of course. But there obviously isn't another like problem with childcare in the country, like the cost of it. Surely there has to be some kind of control brought in
the only possible resolution to the childcare issue in Ireland at the moment will be to bring the creches into the public schooling system and that costs money.
Catch 22.
It's probably not going to cost as much money to do that, Niall, as it will be to fix the pensions problem in 20 or 30 years. And just on that, Niall, the woman that was speaking before, there was a Kathleen.
Kathleen,
and you're still there. You're on a pension at the moment, Kathleen. So as of now, there's probably 4 to 5 taxpayers paying your pension. And Niall, when you get to retirement age, I'd say you're going to go to your 80, but let's say you go at 67. You're going to have 4. But myself and that other gentleman on the line, we're 2 of those 4. By the time we get to retirement, there's going to be 2. You're not going to face this problem. I'm going to face this problem. The other fellow on the phone, he's going to face this problem.
It shouldn't be a problem for you and Andrew to worry about.
Your pension.
But hang on, but this is not a problem for... See, the way I'm looking at it is, this is not a problem for you and Andrew to worry about, or it certainly shouldn't be. This is a problem for governments of the world to sit around and worry about how we're going to do that and figure out another way of doing it.
No, you're not that naive, are you?
I'm just saying, if a pension fund costs a certain amount per year, the governments of the world are going to have to sit around and come up with a plan. Now, I know you are right, Billy, in what you said. Getting governments to work together is a nightmare. For God's sake, how long or how many years have we been plan saving and trying to get every country to agree to it is just a nightmare.
No, the Irish government has been sitting around for the last number of years trying to get agreement from the industrial groups, the unions and everything else for a trifecta where employers will pay a percentage, the person will pay a percentage and the government will pay a percentage into a pension fund that will be an auto-enrollment. And they've had more pushback. But auto-enrollment into a pension where everyone pays, government, employer and individual, is probably one of the only ways that you're going to fix this in the long term.
Listen, lads, I have to go into a break. Anto, Kathleen, Billy, listen, thank you very much indeed. Sorry, Billy, I was getting shorty about your text. I didn't realise they were your text earlier on. I must get to learn people's phone numbers when I see them on the screen. Anyway, loads of other texts coming in. Somebody says, Niall, you're making absolute sense. I think we need to tear down the whole system and rebuild it again. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not an economist, so I don't know how to do that. But there are brighter minds than me out there when it comes to figures on how that should be done. But yes, we have a lot of resources. Somebody agrees. Niall, you were 100% right when you said at the start of the show, we have massive resources in this country and we're not actually using them. I would agree. We do. And that's a lot of the problem there, by the way, is being part of the EU too. So maybe that's something in the future. You know, somebody has said to me the other day, they don't believe the EU is going to last the next 10 years. Maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, the number is 087-188-0008. After the break, by the way, would you have an issue if you just paid 450 grand for a house, somebody moving in next door on welfare and getting their house for practically nothing? Would that bother you? Or is that just being an absolute and utter snob?
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.